In the last two decades, Chris Whittle has built a publishing empire. He's published Esquire magazine, a multitude of health magazines, and introduced a line of specialized videos for doctors' offices. Last year, he launched the controversial Channel One in high schools across the country. It's a 12-minute daily newscast of current events, sprinkled with 2 minutes of commercials. Maureen Corrigan sides with those who think high schools should remain a commercial-free zone. But on the other hand, she says ads are the most thought-provoking aspect of Whittle's latest project, a series of books called The Larger Agenda, about social topics.
With the fall college term approaching, it's time for me to meet with my feminist commando colleagues and plot the final overthrow of Western civilization. This year, we're going to rip Homer and Shakespeare to shreds. Paradise Lost? We'll turn copies of that patriarchal fairy tale into particle board. In its place, we'll teach seminars on Shirley MacLaine's autobiographical trilogy and the poetry of PMS. No one will ever dare mention that oppressive term, great books, again. Well, really. Ever since Alan Bloom's book, The Closing of the American Mind, appeared in 1987, he and his conservative clones have been telling people that this is what feminists are doing to higher education. The mundane reality is that almost every English major is still required, for better or worse, to read Chaucer, Shakespeare, and Melville. But the fear of feminists and other others who challenge the universality of the canon continues to spread. The latest doomsday dirge is James Atlas's hardbound essay, The Book Wars. Atlas is an editor of the New York Times Magazine, and this essay is an extended version of the interviews he's published with critics on both sides of the great books controversy, Bloom and E.D. Hirsch versus those smug academic outlaws at Duke who lecture on cowboy novels and the comics. The Book Wars helpfully summarizes the great books controversy. But here, Atlas doesn't have to maintain journalistic objectivity. After he waxes poetic for the second time about reading the classics as an undergraduate at Harvard, you know where he stands. By the end of the essay, Atlas endorses a great books curriculum as our best defense against the forces of barbarism. Nothing new here. But what is startling about the Book Wars is its packaging. On every fourth page or so, there's a giant color ad for Federal Express. You see, the Book Wars is part of something called the Larger Agenda Series, a project launched by Whittle Publishing and backed by exclusive advertising from Federal Express. It's an aesthetic jolt to read a hardcover book that's packed with ads, but otherwise they don't bother me. Magazine fiction is surrounded by ads. Dickens' serialized masterpieces rubbed shoulders with illustrations of corsets and spittoons. In the Book Wars, however, the FedEx ads weirdly undermine the rarefied view of literature that Atlas champions. For instance, at one point, Atlas laments that books no longer possess the aura of sanctity they once did. But a photo of a sweating FedEx clerk on the next page reminds us that art has always been connected to the foul rag-and-bone shop of commerce. Conservative Roger Kimball charges that literature departments have become hostages to special interest groups, feminists, people of color, gays. But flip the page, and there's a picture of a FedEx driver delivering the message that this essay itself has been paid for by a special interest group. The Book Wars is a wacko entry into the great books controversy. On one side, you've got James Atlas and a bunch of conservative PhDs defending the transcendent value of the canon. On the other side, you've got a package delivery company demonstrating that literature has always been closely bound to the barbaric worlds of profit-making and politics. In my opinion, the Federal Express School of Literary Theory is the hands-down winner.
Maureen Corrigan teaches at Georgetown University.